Good evening, everyone. I ask that we all rise for the pledge of the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Queeteck? Ms. Laird?
Present.
Ms. Leon?
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Present.
And Mr. Blum?
Present. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Just a couple quick things. Councilwoman Laird is on virtual, as you can see her on the screen above us. Councilwoman Queeteck is on foot, hopefully okay in this weather. She had to come from a professional engagement on the other side of the Fahey Bridge. And then Mayor Reynolds may be joining us late this evening as Music Fest and a lot of city administration, including Chief Cott, are trying to coordinate the festival tonight with the impending weather. So it's just some of the attendance that you see up here tonight. We do have a few citations. I don't believe anyone's here tonight, but I'm still going to announce them. For recent city retirees, Lieutenant John Buskirk, Sergeant Jeffrey Ludi, Detective Sergeant Bradford Jones, and Firefighter David Flores, that are here this evening, correct? Moving on to the approval of the minutes for our August 16, 2024 City Council meeting. Any comments on the minutes from the August 16 meeting? Seeing none. Or excuse me, July 16, I think I misspoke, August 16. Getting ahead of myself a little bit, Mr. Miller. So the July 16, 2024 City Council meeting stand approved. So we'll move on as is custom to our public comment, starting with any subjects not being voted on first. I ask everyone to state your name for the record and your address if you're comfortable doing such. As is custom, we'll use our 5-minute time limit. Starting with our first public comment tonight, we have one person signed up, and this is for anything not being voted on. Valerie Noonan.
Hello. Hope you are having a great evening. I know you want to get to Music Fest. I am talking about something kind of substantial tonight, unfortunately. So recently I've had the opportunity to hold some extended conversations with people living under the Fahey Bridge right across the street. And I'd like to share some takeaways from these conversations. The major concern they have is hygiene, specifically access to toilets and clean water for washing and cooking. One woman showed me what she had been given to use as a toilet by the Bethlehem Fire Department. It was a bucket with a lid lined internally with a garbage bag. And sure, that's better than nothing. However, I'd like you guys to imagine if that was the only toilet available to you day in and day out. It's not very dignified, is it? And the other issue is that these people do not have access to a reliable way to disposing of waste. They're stuck without a way to properly dispose of actual biohazards, so not only is it disgusting, but it could make people sick. There are, of course, public bathrooms in the area, and namely the bathrooms over at Sand Island Park. However, these are typically only available in the summer and are locked up after Labor Day. I would like to ask the city to please keep the park bathrooms unlocked year-round so that people without homes can have some safety and dignity. One woman I spoke to also pointed out that the park bathrooms contain electrical outlets, but the outlets don't appear to be connected to a power source or the breaker is off. Whatever the reason is, they're not working. Now, and what I'm about to say to you is not a hypothetical situation. There's a reason she pointed this out. This woman was in a 911 emergency situation and she was unable to call 911 because her phone was dead and she had no way to charge it. She said that if she was only able to charge her phone a little bit, then she would have been able to call 911 and get help. As you probably know, 911 works whether you have a service plan or not. So for that reason, she asked specifically that the city not only keep the bathrooms unlocked, but to make sure that the outlets are connected and working. And I can anticipate that there may be some objections to this, especially after hearing the hemming and hawing about the water fountain situation, which is that people aren't respectful in their use of the facilities and that the park bathrooms get trashed. I have a few counterpoints to this. First of all, Sand Island Park is about 3 steps away from the police station, so it can be monitored. And even the woman I spoke to about this was fine with that idea, as someone who, that lady did not have positive experiences with the police, and she was fine with that. And that aside, providing bathroom access is really the least we can do. It's a basic requirement of living and not a privilege to be revoked at the drop of a hat. So I think that it's important that these bathrooms remain unlocked throughout the year, that we see about making sure the electrical outlets are working, because really this is the only place that they have. They don't have other places to charge their phones. They don't have places to go to the bathroom that are safe. They have to walk 10, 15 minutes in another direction just to get to somewhere they could do any of those things. So, I mean, ideally, these people shouldn't be living on the street at all, but since they are, in the meantime, this is a very simple way to improve their standard of living. So you guys can definitely expect some follow-up about that. There's a group that's been organizing cleanups at that encampment and trying to get resources over there. But this is something really simple you can do, so I hope you can take some time away from the music fest thoughts to think about what's going on right under our noses. Thank you.
Thank you. That was our only speaker who signed up in advance. So again, I'll go around the room. This is for anything that we are not voting on this evening. Is there anyone on the left who wants to talk about anything we're not voting on? What's your hands?
Yeah, Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street, representing Historic Hotel Bethlehem tonight. And I want to thank everyone in the city of Bethlehem and the city council and everyone in the administration that voted for us over the last 4 weeks on the USA Today Best Historic Hotel campaign. We've won 3 years in a row in Memphis. Peabody in Memphis has been behind us in second place 3 years in a row. So this was, in effect, the seventh game of the World Series. But we weren't allowed to market that because that's a patented name. So this year we kicked off the campaign, the voting campaign at Coca-Cola Park, and we called it our going for the Grand Slam and loading the bases and going for the Grand Slam. So we had three bases loaded, and voting ended Monday, but as of the Monday before that, we were in first place. They don't show the leaderboard in the last week, so unless the city of Memphis had a major campaign, I'm really optimistic. And I'm particularly optimistic because at the opening night of voting, we were the major sponsor that night, and we threw out the first pitch at Coca-Cola Park. And lo and behold, Scott Kingery, the shortstop who used to be on the Phillies, actually hit a Grand Slam home run, which was only the second in 90 games for the whole season. So I considered that to be a sign and an omen of the great outcome that hopefully we'll know on August 14th. But I just want to thank you and everyone else in the city of Bethlehem. We represented not only Bethlehem, we're the only hotel to represent all of Pennsylvania in this voting. And let's hope we bring home a winner. And if so, we'll be celebrating on Main Street in September. Thanks.
Good luck, Mr. Haynes. Is everyone in the center who wants to make a comment? Who hasn't signed up for anything not to be voted on? I turn to the right.
All right, that adjourns our first public comment. We're going to continue on to our second public comment. This is for anything, ordinance, resolution that is on the agenda this evening. Again, with a 5-minute time limit. We didn't have anyone sign up in advance, so I'll just go around the room. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make comment on anything that we're voting on tonight? Anyone to the Y Center? Mr. Falwell?
Good evening, Jim Fulweiler, resident of Bethlehem. Regarding tonight's potential vote on the appointment of Ms. Leone to the Housing Authority, if this does not cross the threshold and pose a conflict of interest, what will? The tentacles and web of blurring the lines of undue influence and coercion resulting in multiple levels of conflict continue to grow and spread uninhibited within our city of Bethlehem. Some examples. For the Bethlehem Food Co-op and Touchstone Theater. In our city's own quarterly magazine, they are listed in the index along with every other city organization, borough, department, and function. All the other nonprofits in this magazine don't get such luxury as being listed in. They only have their advertisements buried within this quarterly magazine. Why are those two entities given that special treatment? I hope they're at least paying for their advertisements, even though they're referenced to make it appear they look like a city entity. Second, the city's relationship with New Bethany is also pushing the envelope of inappropriate relationships and engagements, with New Bethany becoming almost another arm of the city as they get so intertwined in city programs and affairs. While New Bethany provides great services, I donate to them, and I have no issues with all that. Any relationship between the city and them beyond the liaison function is rather inappropriate and also presents a conflict of interest as to which master to serve. The appointment of Ms. Leone, our chief of police, and the school superintendent to the board of directors of a non-government private charity while being an elected official is completely inappropriate and a conflict of interest. If these people in these positions want to support these organizations, either resign your government positions or somehow remove the conflicts. With New Bethany's expanding role beyond direct homeless related support managed with city funds going into the Alley Home program, again, what a tangled web of undue government influence and conflicts exist. We must have oversight, liaison, and coordination, but there must be separation and not direct control. Next, to the Housing Authority and First Presbyterian Church. With Reverend Clifton's appointment to the Housing Authority in January 23 and Rice the chair in 24, how can there be legitimate separation when one of the largest affordable and low-income housing plans being pushed through along with damaging zoning changes by the city to increase density in all neighborhoods? Was her appointment a kickback, a payback, or just greasing the skids for that church's and the city's plans? There were several others that I don't have enough time to go over, but a few other little points. The Parking Authority and Ms. Collins' abuse of businesses and the DBA. Many small business owners are simply afraid to voice any true opinion in fear of retribution. And think back to the parking garage, Ms. Collins ordering the HARB how to vote was totally inappropriate. In a previous profession, we would say, don't ask me to do anything not legal, moral, or ethical. I find it hard to believe that there is no legal argument against the appointment of an elected official to an authority. Conflict of interest general criteria includes the concept of not even providing an appearance of a conflict. Well, in Bethlehem, so much for that concept. We already have enough appearances of conflict between several actions between the administration and other organizations, boards, and authorities, and now it's going out to non-governmental organizations. the spread of undue influence, now on full public display and no longer hidden behind closed doors, is leading us down a dangerous road. Branches of government have their roles as do authorities made up of true volunteer community members. Elected officials can serve one, but they shouldn't serve both. If this government chooses to continue down this path, then just jump directly and dissolve all boards and move them under the mayor's control. In one word, in a couple words I heard this week in the news, be careful. In conclusion, I recommend voting no to Ms. Leone's appointment to the Housing Authority. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Folwell. Is there anyone else in the Wyatt Center? Ms. Smith?
Good evening. My name is Anna Smith. I live at 631 Ridge Street in South Bethlehem, and I'm the Director of Community Action Development Bethlehem, a community development organization working throughout the city. And I'm here once again to address the appointment of a fifth member of the Bethlehem Housing Authority Board of Commissioners. As I expressed at the last council meeting, this appointment is an important step toward reforming an institution that plays a crucial role in housing our most vulnerable residents in the city, and which is one of our most powerful tools in addressing our growing affordable housing crisis. I believe that the appointment of an eminently qualified community leader with significant experience in organizational leadership, deep community connections, and the time and energy needed to support the evolution of this organization is a vital step toward ensuring that our housing authority excels in its core function of providing housing to our lowest income residents. Our community deserves a housing authority that treats residents with dignity, respect, and which maximizes the use of federal resources to support those in need. Reform is never easy, but we owe it to the thousands of community members who rely on the BHA to fulfill one of their most basic needs, and I would argue a human right, to ensure that organizational policies and practices are held to the highest standards. And I'm afraid that right now we are falling short. I have spent dozens of hours, probably hundreds, working with Bethlehem Housing Authority residents in my office, community meetings, on their doorsteps, in their kitchens. And it's beyond clear that our community members deserve better, and change needs to start at the top. The BHA was recently subject of an inquiry from Senator Bob Casey's office regarding hundreds of thousands of dollars in voucher funding that was returned to the federal government instead of spent on vouchers for residents in desperate need of housing, as well as management practices that have overcharged residents thousands of dollars due to miscalculations in their rent. I was contacted by a staffer from Senator Casey's office who expressed grave concerns about challenges a resident I happen to be assisting have faced, as well as other residents and community organizations who've spoken with Senator Casey's office. I was recently contacted by a desperate single mom on a fixed income who, after spending years on a wait list, was given 3 days to come up with first month's rent and a deposit to obtain access to housing. She couldn't do it. She's on a fixed disability income, had already paid her rent for the month, so she lost her spot. No one returned my inquiries or emails about this, and this is standard practice within this agency. I stood in the kitchen of an elderly resident of the Pembroke area 3 weeks ago, where she showed me a broken window that a neighborhood kid threw a ball through 2 years ago. She filed a police report, contacted maintenance, but her window has not yet been fixed. It has been broken for 2 years. I could go on. I could be here for an hour. These stories will break your heart. At each opportunity, myself and other community leaders, organizations have reached out to BHA for answers and were met with silence or rebuffed. When the prospect of change arises, there will always be folks with a vested interest in preserving the status quo. I'm hoping that all of you tonight will cast your votes in favor of reform and support one of our most dedicated community leaders in joining a board where I am confident that you will play an integral role in supporting our most vulnerable residents. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment on anything we're voting on this evening?
Hello, Valerie Noonan again. Just a brief comment on the Housing Authority vote. I really think the issue has been blown out of proportion, having heard the heated debate at the last meeting and the continued conversation now. I think that, truly, I am against government corruption as much as anyone, and I don't think this is an example of it. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make, Mr. Caratola, we're on anything being voted on this evening? Did you want to make comment on anything we're voting on this evening?
Thanks for you voting on my show.
Yes.
Oh, okay. But we just wanted to call the call.
Is there anyone to the right who wants to make a comment on anything that we're voting on this evening? So that's going to adjourn public comment. We're going to move through our agenda. Any old business for members of council?
Yes, Mr. President.
Squeezer.
Thank you. Mr. President, thank you. I asked to speak during old business because I wanted to discuss matters related to certain proceedings during our last meeting and over the course of the last 7 months since our reorganization in January. Mr. President, in his book, Microaggressions in Everyday Life, Race, Gender, and Sexual Orientation, Gerald Wing Su, professor of psychology and education in the Department of Counseling and Clinical Psychology at Teachers College, Columbia University, defines microaggressions as, quote, brief everyday exchanges that send denigrating messages to certain individuals because of their group membership, unquote. Another definition of microaggressions are that they are commonplace verbal, behavioral, or environmental slights, whether intentional or unintentional, that communicate hostility, derogatory, or negative attitudes towards those of different races, cultures, beliefs, or genders. Mr. President, one example of a microaggression might be if a woman of color who lives in what is perceived to be a lower income zip code, for example, the south side of Bethlehem, were to be nominated to serve in a position of responsibility. And in the course of deliberations over that matter, someone suggested that it might be a conflict of interest because that person might direct Section 8 housing vouchers to their neighbors or friends. Mr. President, another example of a microaggression might be for someone who doesn't hold a law degree to place a higher value on a male lawyer's expertise on a matter over that of a woman lawyer who is specifically employed by this body to provide her considerable legal expertise on such matters. Mr. President, microaggressions are harmful. Their impact is felt regardless of intent, and to ignore them sends a message that these behaviors and the views they demonstrate are acceptable. So I want to say that I reject these denigrating messages. It is the work of white people to continue to look within ourselves and strive to do better and be better. I hope we can all commit to that today. Mr. President, I also wanted to raise a concern with regard to adherence to our local conflict of interest ordinance. As we all know, because we receive an annual training from the state ethics folks, a conflict of interest involves the potential for an official or a member of their family, including spouses, parents, children, and siblings, to financially benefit from a matter on which a body is voting. In the case of our city ordinance specifically, which we passed during the last council session, we also include matters where someone we receive political campaigns donations totaling $500 or more over the previous 5 years might benefit, and again, the family relationships. The ordinance requires us to disclose these conflicts and recuse ourselves from voting on the matter. Now, this ordinance does not have an enforcement mechanism, which means that if someone were to simply not disclose a conflict, or having reluctantly disclosed such a conflict, not recuse themselves from voting on the matter, wherein a member of their family had a direct financial interest in the outcome of the matter, we do not have recourse. Unfortunately, Mr. President, there have been at least two such instances in just the last 7 months, and this is concerning to me. As we know, there is language in our ordinance suggesting we try to avoid even the perception of a conflict of interest, and I'm saddened that not everyone has lived up to this standard. I plan to confer with Solicitor Stewart regarding the feasibility of adding an enforcement mechanism of some kind to our city conflict of interest ordinance. Mr. President, I also want to share my concern about maintaining consideration and respect for work colleagues. When a coworker's absence leads to a meeting needing to be rescheduled, and all of their colleagues rearrange their schedules so that they can attend the new date of the meeting, the colleague who required the schedule change should be expected to attend on the new date, unless that person was facing emergency circumstances. When that colleague, with only a few hours' notice, announces that they are out of town and can't attend that meeting after all, even via a remote link which was provided to them, it shows an extreme lack of respect and consideration for their remaining coworkers. So naturally, I have to conclude this must have been an emergency and simply couldn't have been avoided. Otherwise, it would demonstrate this person assumed that everyone else would rearrange their schedules to attend the rescheduled meeting and then actually show up to the meeting and discharge one of the most significant duties asked of us by our elected office. So, whatever the emergency was, Mr. President, I certainly hope it was resolved without too much suffering. Finally, Mr. President, and importantly, I want to share my concern over frequent breaks with what I would consider proper order during our meetings. At our last meeting, for example, a member of this body was granted an opportunity to ask a question after a discussion had concluded on a matter with a unanimous vote. It was not appropriate to have allowed this line of questioning, which was pursued, unfortunately, with a lack of respect for members of the mayor's administration. This was just one example of a pattern of behavior that we have seen, and I implore you, Mr. President, to be more vigilant in your role to maintain order and a respectful decorum on the part of council members during our official proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatek. I both hear and recognize your point, and I appreciate the willingness to come forward with those thoughts they had here at the council meeting tonight. And some of those things they'll give consideration to, and some of it, as I referenced before, has to do with how I navigate these meetings. But as I've stated before, I want to continue operating for all of us here in this room with a certain air of decorum and respect for everybody, and using the ability I have here in the center as a council president to try to make sure we're moving along not only efficiently but also with respect to others. But I appreciate you bringing forward those concerns.
Thank you. I would say, just to quickly respond to that in the interest of decorum, I think there has been too much of a willingness for many of us to put up with behavior that I would say is out of order, beyond just decorum. And that's why I chose to speak about this tonight, because it just seemed that it was time to point things out that we've been politely ignoring to some extent in order to maintain decorum, and it seems unfair that many of us take that responsibility seriously, and it winds up harming us. So, thank you.
Understood. Any other old business from members of council? Mr. Callahan, I'll turn to you.
I'll wait.
And then I'll turn to
you. No.
Mr. Callahan, she's deferring to you. I saw your hand first.
I defer. I got to write a couple more notes here. I'm sorry.
We'll wait.
This is an example of what we're just listening
right,
to.
So,
if we can, please state your points, Mr.
Okay.
Callahan.
So let me address a couple of things here first. The mayor, this is not his meeting. This is a city council meeting. I don't do everything the mayor wants me to do. That's not our job. So he gets to speak one time during our meeting, and that's during the mayor's report. That's it. The only other time he gets to speak is if he asks for the floor, according to Robert's Rules of Order. He does not do that. I have 20, 30 different videos that I've taken that I'll show you. He does not follow Robert's Rules of Order. This is not his meeting. It's our meeting. He doesn't even have to legally be here. Some mayors don't even go to the city council meetings.
Mr. Callahan,
I'm addressing her comments. She made a comment.
You're inciting Mayor Reynolds.
I'm speaking to her. I'm not speaking to him. I'm not pretending he's on the hearing. So let me explain something to you. He can't speak until he asks you for the floor. Correct? He has to ask for the floor under Robert's Rules of Order. I asked for the floor, and I spoke to you and our solicitor after the meeting, and I said, hey, if you go back and look at the video, you will see I asked you for the floor to speak. I was granted the floor. I spoke. I asked a direct question to Ms. Satula and Ms. Collins. He spoke up without asking for the floor. He broke Robert's Rules of Order. You can go and look back at the video. You may not like what you see, but I'm right. I asked for the floor, as I should have, according to Robert's Rules of Order. I was given the floor by the president. I asked a direct question to administrators, not him. He never asked for the floor. He broke Robert's Rules of Order. So if you want to come down on me, come down on the mayor, because he's the one who breaks it more than anybody. He speaks up all the time without permission. So that's the first thing. As far as me missing the meeting, I lost my wife to cancer 18 years ago. I don't miss one of my kids' events, ever. Nothing that we do here is more important than me being with one of my kids. If you can't understand that, I'll tell you where to go sometime. because I will be there. I had a birthday the following day, had no idea that they had a surprise party, a surprise gift for me, which was out of town. Otherwise, you guys know me, I would have loved to have been here. I don't have a problem debating. You guys, or most of the people on this council, want to handle everything back room, backstage, on the phone calls.
No, I don't, that's hold on. Motive. Please do not.
No, I said most.
Please don't assign motive.
So, in my opinion, Mr. President, in my opinion, I think most of you want to solve this behind closed doors. I don't. This is, why not? Why should we not talk about all this here? This should be discussed in front of everyone.
Hold on. This is, we're getting in the weeds here.
Right.
We're getting out. If you right. want to address all
I want to be done in a minute.
Please come back.
This is all, she mentioned why I wasn't here. And I'm telling you why. Okay? And if they have a problem with me being with one of my children on a special day, I'm the only parent to those kids. I don't know what kind of person you are, but I'm being there. Now, as far as the you know, if I have no problem asking and following Robert's Rules of Orders. I just want the mayor to do the same thing. So, and I don't know what Ms. Kwiatkowski, I don't know what the other thing you were talking about conflict of interest. I'd be happy to address any conflict of interest that you think I made. Anytime, I've never ever voted on anything having to do with anybody who ever gave me a donation for anything. And if there is something, I would like to know, because I would deeply apologize for that if that's true.
Are you done with your comments, Ms. Callahan? Yes. I'm going to turn to other
members. And I'll speak up during new business.
I'm going to turn to other members of council before I open it up again. We're on old business for any old business members of council would like to address. Councilwoman Wilhelm?
Sure. I actually think that many of those comments didn't refer directly to the comments that Ms. Kwiatek was making, in which she referred to the hearing that we rescheduled. But one thing I want to address about Mr. Callahan, your comments, is that you refer to this as our meeting.
It is.
I'm not sure.
Please don't interject when others are speaking. Everyone. Thank you.
Please don't do that anymore. I'm not sure why your comments about the mayor entered that stream of thought, but what I want to focus on are the words our meeting. It is our meeting. Our meeting, the public's meeting. I've clocked the amount of time that has been wasted in repeated comments, my opinion wasted in repeated comments, interruptions, and direct accusations, 20, 25, 40, 45 minutes, while we, the hour that you're referring to, waits for resolution, for respect. Yes, Robert's rules are important to the operations of this body, but decorum and respect is also part of that. What I wanted to say earlier is that I am not going to add to those very well thought out comments. I think anything I would say would not be an addition at this point, but what I wanted to say that is that I too have been thinking about this at great length over many weeks, and I thank you, Ms. Kwiatek, for speaking this evening.
Any other new business from members of council? Ms.
Old.
Kwiatek?
Old.
Or old business, pardon. Thank you. Any other old business?
I just wanted to point out that the two instances I was referring to were the vote on the Walnut Street garage, which, of course, did have a family member that had a financial interest in it because they were at that time bidding on the business for the program space. And also we voted on certificates of appropriateness several weeks ago in which we grouped them all together, but one of them was a project that would financially benefit a family member. Thank you. It had nothing to do with campaign contributions. However, I will say that it is, again, an honor system, and it's something that we are all duty bound to look at the names involved. I mean, I read my packet pretty thoroughly. And, you know, when I saw, for instance, the the Live in the Garden, where I had a family member who was going to get paid for performing. I recused myself on every vote related to Lehigh University, even things that have absolutely nothing to do with, just the tiniest things, you know, closing a street, whatever. And I'm not financially benefiting from that act, but I am paid by them a salary. And so, again, the conflict of interest is about the financial benefit piece. And so it is incumbent on all of us to carefully examine what we're voting on and use the honor system. That's all I have to say about that.
Mr. Gallagher? I don't know if you remember this or not, but I voted against the demo of the garage.
It was irrelevant.
She put up the garage in a conflict of interest that I had. Correct?
I'm asking you a question.
I am answering her question. She just made a comment that I voted for the garage. Why don't you state it again, Ms.
So you voted on the matter.
On the matter.
Voted.
Okay.
Yes.
I voted against.
I'm going to call this.
I apologize
order,
for interrupting.
Please.
I apologize. Thank you.
If I may interject.
I was against it.
I'm going to go by memory here, just since we want to police this and how we voted. In our conflicts of interest training, I believe the attorney from Harrisburg, when posed with that exact question about potentially how to handle something like that, when the question was posed to them about supporting or not supporting with a vote something that was on the agenda, that any member of council, because I think what's very relevant to take away from this is that I'll say from the center, I always try to be as objective as possible. And one of the questions posed at that training was, should we recuse? And I believe she said it's good to. And then I believe she was asked, why wouldn't support it? And I believe the response was, regardless of voting in favor or not, that it's best practice to recuse from any vote involving where there would be a conflict of interest. So while I think we could spin our wheels, and I don't invite that, and I don't mean to interject, but just to close my point, if we want to cite sort of the you know, reference training that we sat through, the takeaway from that was the how was irrelevant. And I think, not to speak for any of the other speakers, that was sort of the point.
And I think that if we go back and look at the tape, I believe our solicitor said that there was no conflict of interest. I believe the same council member brought up this point then, and I believe our solicitor said, because I was trying to figure out who she was talking about. Sometimes I don't know who she's talking about or what, but our solicitor said that there was no conflict. And I think if you look at the tape, she'll see that, number one. Number two, I was voting against my brother. So yeah, I don't know what, you know, I was totally against that project. Case closed.
Ms. Wall?
I did want to address just one more thing. This really for folks who are listening about the phrase behind closed doors, which has been used multiple times. And I think it's really important to differentiate the implication of the phrase behind closed doors is opaqueness, lack of transparency, and sort of backdoor dealings. We all know what that phrase implies. And I want to differentiate between the phrase behind closed doors and doing your research between meetings. I've said this before. I've said this before January. We work hard, many, most, all of us, between meetings, to ask the questions, to do the research, to inquire, so that we can come to meetings making an informed vote. You don't do that research in a 2, 3, or even 5 hour meeting. And I'm saying this for the public. I'm saying this for folks who are listening to clarify that the work we do between meetings is the work we do to make an informed vote. And that's all I'd like to say about that.
So I believe everyone's had the ability to speak twice, so I will turn to anyone who hasn't had a chance to speak yet. Ms. Ramsey-Smith.
I just want to say that I think it's very important that we, that the flow of the meeting and the following of Robert's Rules of Order is consistent. I think that that's not always the case. In the last almost 2 years, I've had some concerns, and I did address it with the council president, and I still have those concerns at times. I think it's also important that, you know, we act as council members in a really independent and objective manner. And I will say, as far as behind closed doors, I mean, that's a term that I think a lot of people use, especially in politics, but, and I'm not speaking for Councilman Callahan, I'm speaking for myself. I think that it's important that I know, being on council for I don't know how many years now, you know, I know in the past and I think in the present that there's times when certain council people do consult and sidebar between meetings and not everyone's included, and sometimes votes are decided upon before meetings, and that's probably with any group, and that isn't, you know, the best way to do things, but I think that's the way I take it. I don't know if Councilman Callahan means that, but I just think it is good to be transparent and bring things up at the meeting so that the public is aware of what's happening with city business. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ramsey Smith. So citing our council rules, anyone gets to speak third at the discretion of the president. So I'll use that discretion now. Is there anyone who had anything else for new business?
Old business.
Apologies. You threw me off with this old business tonight.
Sorry.
We'll survive. I'm gonna continue on to new business. Is there any new business for members of council? I'll start with Ms. Wilhelm.
I wanted to start by addressing a comment made during public comment regarding the appearance of conflict of interest, and specifically I want to reference a comment that was made about Touchstone Theater, which I assume was directed toward me and my part-time role with the organization. All I want to say about that is that Touchstone pays for ads, A, and B, that insinuation denigrates the hard work, extremely hard work of a community, and community engagement of an organization, an ensemble of dedicated artists who have built a reputation over 43 years to become a community responsive entity that uses the arts to open the voices of folks who don't typically become involved, who don't necessarily feel safe in particular community spaces or parts of this community. And that is work that Touchstone has done for 43 years, not the 2.5 years that I have served on council. And I hope you can hear what I'm saying. And that's the end of that. So the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, I wanted to acknowledge and congratulate our parking authority, who recently received Lanta's Transit Partner Award. This is an award that recognizes, in the words of Lanta, efforts to facilitate and promote the use of public transportation in the Lehigh Valley, which I think we can all acknowledge is not a commonly used service. It's something we're still getting comfortable with here. And the award went to the BPA for its coordinations with Lanta in promoting the concept of parking once and riding Lanta to multiple destinations in Bethlehem. And we all see this actually right now in the Music Fest shuttle, which, if you aren't aware, provides three lines that are fare-free, pass-free, you don't need to show anything, you hop on, hop off, stopping at 14 stops at Music Fest, thanks to the city for being a part of that as well, at Arts Fest, with service that runs like from early morning to early morning, basically. And I think not only does that make getting around the festival more accessible, but it also gives sort of a bite-sized experience on public transportation for those who may not have experience. So I really wanted to lift that up, because I think in any city, literally anywhere I've lived, anywhere you have lived, I'm certain, a parking authority is an easy target with a public-facing enforcement arm. Very easy to be unhappy with the parking authority, but we're very fortunate here in Bethlehem to have an authority that, on top of existing multiple accreditations and sustainability designations, which it already has, it is committed to helping create a sustainable, efficient parking ecosystem that includes advancing public transportation. So I wanted to be sure to publicly recognize that. And I think it's great that our regional transit system recognizes it as well. Thanks, Mr. President.
Thank you, Ms. Wilhelm. Ms. Leone?
I also wanted to talk a bit about some of the public comments that were made, mainly about the buckets that are being used along the canal. It's my understanding that this was a partnership with the health department and Pastor Bob, and was a very good thing that was positively received by the people that live along the canal, because it is a bucket and it is a container, but there is also something else that is put in there to neutralize, that was allowing them to live with a more of a sense of dignity. But you know, I think that maybe we could ask a health department representative or representative from the administration to maybe talk a little bit about that, since it was done through the health department. I would just like some clarification about the receptacles that they're receiving. Is this a program that is going well? And I also appreciate all the conversations that we have been having. Particularly, there was one during the Southside Steering Committee about public restrooms, the need for them, and how we can go about standing these things up. They're not quick fixes. We cannot fix this overnight, but there seems to be a willingness, especially with these smaller organizations, to address this need. So I was just curious if we could turn to the administration, President Cohn, to ask about the receptacles, if it is if it's something that the city did or if it was something that Bob did.
Anybody want to take it?
It's too long.
So we worked in concert with BES because we were hearing some growing concerns about access to restrooms. So the Health Bureau used some funding it had available to purchase, they're like WAG bags, actually, often used by military personnel, so they are multi-use, and we set them up with kind of like a bucket with a toilet seat with the WAG bags, and also put up, provided like, almost like you would use when camping, like little shelters, to provide like a level of privacy. And so the Health Bureau ordered all of them, and then we worked with Bob to help distribute them in the encampment to folks that were living down there. And so they will then come back up to Bob and like get a refill of the WAG bag when they run out.
I have an additional question about the disposing of trash. It was my understanding that there were an increased amount of receptacles that were provided so that people can put their trash there. Is that still the case? Is there a place for them to not only dump their waste, but to dump any trash that they might be accumulating?
Yes, we've had folks from Public Works, they are regularly going down there, emptying the receptacles along the canal, but also there is a dumpster set up as well.
Those were all the questions.
And thank you. We've also had just a great group of volunteers who've been going out and cleaning up and trying to, once they kind of cleaned up the area, with a group of volunteers from BES, Victory House, a trail tending organization, and they've been going into the encampments and kind of really kind of encouraging people and letting them know about where that they can dispose of their trash.
Appreciate it. I know it's a fine line to you know, treat people with dignity. It is also in public park. I know that these are very difficult conversations that I would love to continue to have in a more welcoming form. Thank you.
Any new business?
Regarding that also, is there a way that we can consider keeping the bathrooms open longer, at least until the shelter opens? I think there's probably a gap in time is there maybe like a month gap or so that the bathrooms close until the emergency shelter opens?
We're working on that issue, including the possibility of installing locks that we can remotely control and that sort of thing in order to, because our biggest problem, like was mentioned before, is vandalism, and they were severely vandalized on numerous occasions where it was difficult to get someone to clean them up afterwards, which is what resulted in that bullying.
Are there cameras there by chance? No? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ramsey Smith, do you have anything else for me?
Oh, yeah, I did. Only one other thing. I just wanted to say thank you to the IBW, Wind Creek, the Hatso and Uller and Councilman Callahan for restoring some of the lights at Steel Stacks. It's great to see them lit, especially with Music Fest happening. So thank you to everyone involved in that.
Thank you.
Any other new business, Mr. Callahan?
Yeah, three items. Mr. I'll call you guys a second. How much money were have we, off the top of your head? I don't need an exact number. How much money have we put in the paving for this budget year?
Our planned budget for paving for this year is a little bit north of $2 million between in-house and contract paving.
Two million in-house and how much outside?
$2 million total for both in-house total. And contract paving. This would include all prep work, ADA ramp work. All part of that same program, it's $2 million.
Thank you. So UGI sends us their cost sharing when they rip up a road, right? There's a cost sharing program that UGI has to fix, they don't want to fix the road, so they send us money.
Yeah, depending on the road and what impact they're causing on that road, we sit down with them, we make a list of roads where it makes sense, both from better efficiently using the money to pay with our in-house crews, and like you said, they prefer not to have to do the restorations because they've involved completely repaving, because they would have to contract it out anyway and they don't have to oversee it.
Right.
We come up with a plan of what roads we're going to cost share on, and we come up with a dollar amount that they are responsible for. In other words, we assume that they're going to do the restoration and they were going to pay a contractor to do it, but instead they will pay us that money and they walk away. We then use that money, use our in-house crews to do paving, which makes it, we could do more with that money.
Right.
More paving with that money.
That's not part of the $2 million though, the original $2 million.
No.
How much money have we gotten from UGI for cost sharing this year?
We started the program 2-3 years ago. So
how about this year?
This year, I think it's about a little under $400,000 is the cost share.
And where does that money go? Does that go into paving, or does that go into general budget?
No, it goes into paving.
It goes, so we should have two.
It goes into an escrow account, which we then move into a paving item, yes.
So the $400,000, Mr. Evans, is that correct? So the $400,000, can we get a report? It doesn't have to be by the next meeting, but whenever. Can we get a report on all the monies that we've received from UGI? For the cost sharing for the roads?
Yeah,
and I like that. And Mr. Evans, that goes...
I can tell you right now, it's a little under 700 to date, but I think the big cost sharing plan is...
It's under what now?
Under 700,000 total for the past 3 years.
Oh, for the past 3 years. Okay. So, and what account does that go in, Mr. Evans?
We do our paving out of our capital account.
All right, yeah. I know that there's a, I don't know what account code number it is, but I know that there's a code there in there for paving and for repaving our roads, correct?
There's several items that we use.
So we should be seeing $700,000 over the last 3 years or $400,000 this year put into those accounts above and beyond what was budgeted, correct?
There's the non-utility, there's several non-utility items for cost-sharing money that comes back to the city. Like I indicated before, we put it into an escrow account, and then we move it into a line item. Typically, it's a 6999 item. There's other items.
Is that the account number, 699?
It starts with 6999.
So this year alone, we've had $400,000, and that money should be going directly to paving roads.
It does.
Okay, so if we put $2 million in our budget, we should have about $2.5 million in paving this year, correct?
No. I think the cost sharing was included in the $2 million that I said earlier. The cost sharing from UGI.
Right. That's not what you said earlier, though.
I stand corrected then. The total paving we're doing this year is $2 million, which includes any money that we receive from UGI.
So for now on, so we didn't put $2 million from the budget this year into paving. It was 1.6.
1.6. All right. 1.7.
I just want to start tracking it because our roads are in horrendous shape, and I'm not blaming you. I know you fight, and you've done it not just with Mr. Reynolds. I'm not blaming him, Mr. Donchez, my brother. at some point we got to start realizing, just like we did what, you know, we started taking care of our digesters down at the sewage plant, we have to start putting some money in our infrastructure into our city for the people who are already driving around these roads all the time. I get complaints all the time, and this is not me because I'm a drive red teacher.
We are making multi efforts.
I know you are.
To catch up and to improve our roads. And I would also go so far as to say is we're not the only community that struggles with infrastructure, including road maintenance.
Agreed. It just seems that our roads, when I drive into Easton, pick up students, Allentown, our roads just seem, I don't know why, maybe I'm driving on the worst roads in the city. They're horrendous. And I know Washington Avenue, great job. And I appreciate you having the crew go back and fix the yellow line that was all crooked. I appreciate that, I really do. I noticed it. But if we could just get a list of the shared costs of monies up to date and over the last 3 years, and then what account that went in, I appreciate that. Thank you. You got to ask him, not me.
Is it Mayor Reynolds?
Just to add to that, Mr. Callahan, one of the things that we are currently working on, Ms. Stein has been working on this with me and Mr. Alcohol, is we're putting together like a GIS map that's going to be able to show what the overlays have been over the last several years as far as the pavings are concerned. You may have seen the chart before. It's included in the budget presentations that in 18 and 19, I think we did like 23 like line miles of roads. And then in 20 and 21, we did like 27 like lane miles of roads. In 22 and 23, because we had put $3 million over 2 years into roads out of the ARPA funds, we were able to do almost double, 47. And then the goal we set for 24 and 25 is 50. So when Mike talks about
what 50 miles?
50 lane miles. So now, to be honest, like that's not, like that's a lane mile. So say you're Washington Avenue and the distance between Center and Linden is a quarter mile, and you do both sides, that's gonna count as like a half mile, not a quarter mile, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So we have invested in that. We've also been making some progress in our capital utility that going out, so not just 24, 25, but 26, 27, we're gonna be able to keep that increased amount going. Some of this too that we have been working on just to add to all of the things, and like we agree, the roads, obviously, as you know, the main ones, they get worn down quicker. So like Linden Street, for example, which is a PennDOT road, is gonna get worn down quicker than side roads are, which is why we have to end up repaving those more often. Next year, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, Linden Street is getting paved from PennDOT, from Elizabeth Avenue, all the way out to Bethlehem Township. That's correct. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a multi-million dollar project, just to kind of give the total picture. So when we work with like the TIP, as they call it, like through the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission and the money that we get from the state down from the feds, it's also about trying to get them to invest in those particular roads. So a lot of that work's been going on Linden Street now, which is obviously one of the main thoroughfares. That project is going to be about PennDOT putting about $3 million into it. So we have multiple different funding sources to bring in, but we completely agree. And one of the things that's happening too is because, not just in the city of Bethlehem, and I've talked about this before, where our population has gone up by like 1,000, 2,000 in the last 15 years, but the population of the Lehigh Valley has exploded. And because the population of the Lehigh Valley has exploded, we have more and more people that are not only working in the city of Bethlehem, but they're driving through the city of Bethlehem. So, for example, a road that was one of our main thoroughfares that might have lasted 7, 8, 9, 10 years before it needed to get paved, because we have so many cars going through, going from Lower Saucon down to Hanover Township, you get the point, moving through, it's driving the kind of how long our roads last, driving it down, which is part of the reason that we are investing, as I said, almost double the amount that we invested 3, 4 years ago into paving. We are trying to, and I'm glad you gave Mike credit, because he is constantly on the phone with UGI being like, how do we get this reimbursed? You guys need to pay for this. You cut into this. We need the money back. But beyond that, too, it's also some of the other things that we're doing, trying to build a walkable, bikeable community to reduce how many car trips we need to have in the city. So all of these things go along with what we're trying to do to be able to improve that status, making roads safer, making them more walkable, and things like that. So it's not wrong that we need to invest into our roads. We're trying to do as much as we can, and there is money. The challenge we too have right now, and Mike is too good of a guy to tell you this, is it's also, I mean, we only have so many machines. So you probably remember when you were in council, that we purchased the in-house pavers. So we didn't used to be able to do any of that stuff in-house ever. And we've been able to drastically improve how much because of that. But we only have so many people that are able to do it. The rain, the 6 months between the middle of April and the middle of October. But we're trying to do that. And like I said, you know, getting after UGI has been almost a full-time job. If you look at some areas, like on the west side, you look at 1st Avenue, 2nd Avenue, 3rd Avenue, 4th Avenue, 5th Avenue, like up to 9th Avenue. I mean, the majority of those roads have now been repaved, and a lot of those were through cost sharing. But I've struggled, to be honest with you, to try to share this with people in a systemic way where people can kind of see the progress we're making. Because you're right. If you're living on a street and you're driving the same way to work every day, or you go into these different places, and I know you drive for a living, but I'm saying some people might, if they live somewhere on Johnson Drive or whatever, and then they drive down Linden Street and they turn right in Washington Forest Fix, they're like, man, all the roads are terrible when it's like two roads. So we've talked about how do we necessarily share the systemic progress. And one of the things we're doing is working on those type of graphics that will show the overlays over the years to be like, this is what we did in 2019, this is what we did in 2020, 21, 22. So then that's it. So we can obviously get you all that information, but that's the type of visual thing that we're trying to show, to show people, you know, where that work is going and how we're building and how we've kind of like doubled those, that amount of paper.
Thank you.
Yep. Your other points, Mr. Callahan?
Yeah, I have two more. I want to thank Ms. Clancy Smith for acknowledging Wind Creek and Hazel Bueller. So I just want to let everybody know, if I bring something up, and Mary, you know this, I'm a pit bull on things. If I want to zero in on something, I'm gonna. Three meetings ago, I talked about getting the lights at Steel Stacks lit up. Waited a week or two, called Miss Hilder down at Arts Quest, nothing was going on with it. I called the IBEW, Paul Anthony, the head of the IBEW. I said, Paul, didn't you guys work down there for Sandia? It was Westside Hammer, which was a union shop. They used to work down there. They did all the work down there. They sold out to Hassel and Bueller. I called Hassel. They got me a number for Hassel and Bueller. I called over there. I spoke to a gentleman named Ryan Quay. I'm only bringing this up to applaud them, because they covered the cost of all this. There was no city money. There was no Wind Creek money. I thank Wind Creek for allowing them to go down there and do it. But I went to the IBEW. I want to thank them. I want to thank Wind Creek. I want to thank, most importantly, Ryan Quay at the union shop at Hatzel and Bueller for going down there with his men and the crew, running the problem and the issues down there. The power issues were the main breakers. It wasn't a multi-million-dollar fix. It wasn't a $100,000 fix. It was a $5,000 fix. The lights are currently up at 80-85%. They fixed it under $5,000, which Hassel and Bueller picked up all the costs gratis. And so I want to thank them, especially for doing that, because they want to be good community members, and that was the main thing that he had said to me. I was shocked when he told me that they went down there and they were already working on it. So I want to thank Hassel and Bueller, the union shop, for, you know, for doing that. I want to thank the IBEW and Paul Anthony, and I want to thank Wind Creek for letting them get in there and solve that problem. The third and last thing is, I know all you council members, or most of you, miss me when I'm not here. But had I been able to get back here for the curative amendment, I was on the road. So I don't text and drive or even do anything with my phone and drive. I'm a drive red teacher, and that's probably good practice. So had I got back here, I would have voted no, as everybody else did, which would have drastically changed the vote from 5-0 to 6-0. So I just want to make sure that everybody's clear that, you know, there's other people on this council that miss more meetings than I. And I would, you know, I don't know.
Callahan, please, no, object on personal matters.
No, I was, someone brought up my attendance. And I think there's one member who's missed more meetings than I have. And if there's a debate, I'd like to have, you know, if our city clerk could get me the attendance since January. Of all the council members, I appreciate that. Before the next meeting, thank you very much.
Any other new business from other members of council?
Excuse me.
Ms. Kwiatek, do you have any business?
I just wanted to thank Ms. Noonan for raising some of the issues that she raised, and to second Ms. Cramsey Smith's call for looking into the bathroom situation and extending the hours there and some way that we can keep an eye on them and keep them safe. And I appreciate hearing from you that that's something that you guys are already investigating. Thank you very much for that. And I just wanted to say also with regard to what Ms. Wellhelm had mentioned about some of the comments earlier about conflicts of interest and things like that, that there is no kickback to serving on a nonprofit or a governmental authority board and commission other than the privilege of spending unpaid or meagerly paid, if there is a stipend for some of them, hours, trying to help people solve problems and make the world a better place. So I think it's just really kind of incomprehensible to me that the misunderstanding of what a conflict of interest is in actual terms. Someone serving on a board such as the pastor who you referenced, and I feel that, sort of casting aspersions on her in a public forum like this is really unfortunate. There isn't a conflict of interest, there's actually like a congruence or a confluence of interest, where it seems that the only people who are willing and able to volunteer and serve on these kinds of boards are people who are also doing the work. So it's almost like they're using all of their time on this earth to try to fix things and make things better for folks. So I just wanted to speak up for people who can't speak for themselves. Thank you.
Any other new business? I'll just say a couple quick things. One, talking a little bit more about the Parking Authority, I had an opportunity to speak with Mr. Fernstrom earlier today. Now that we're a few days into Music Fest, just wanted to hear from him about how parking's going. His remarks were very positive, just talking about no capacity issues, using all the different parking assets that the city has as it relates to the parking garages, lots, expanding the concentration of Music Fest wider, which then obviously you don't have that saturation in one part of the city. And he had said that the shuttle, which was referenced earlier, has had reportedly hundreds, north of 500 riders so far, which was very encouraging news. Because as was referenced previously at a council meeting, there were attempts at like the Loop in Bethlehem before, which was a north side to south side shuttle, not just during Music Fest, but just to help people commute from one side of the river to the other, and that didn't last long, unfortunately, due to ridership. And so far, a few days into Music Fest, the shuttle's really been the success. So that was really great to hear. And Mr. Fernstrom sounded very confident about managing the parking needs for the rest of the festival, because of course we're only a few days in so far. And then the last thing I'll just remind all members of council, be mindful our microphones are very sensitive. As we speak under our breath, as we drink, as we crumple paper, as we make asides, that when Mr. Miller does the minutes and such, or even just as other people are speaking or trying to listen, that our microphones are very sensitive to the work that we do here at our desk during the meetings. So we're going to move on to communications. Mr. Miller, communication 6A.
July 24th, 2024, memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. Boscola recommends a contract with Remington and Vernick Engineers 2, Incorporated of Allentown. Engineering services shall be provided to assist the city with upgrades to the sanitary sewer modeling software, which allows the city to evaluate the impact of proposed developments and improvement projects on the sewer collection and infrastructure. The cost is $60,012. The estimated completion date is February 28, 2025. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10A is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6B.
July 31st, 2024, memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. The memorandum seeks permission to apply for an additional $1.1 million in home/ARP funds from the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development for the development of non-congregate sheltering.
And Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
The July 30th, 2024 memorandum from Public Works Director Mike Laucall with an attached winter maintenance services agreement and proposed resolution. The agreement is with PennDOT and covers the 5-year winter period starting in 2024, 2025, and running through 2028, 2029. It outlines payment to be made to Bethlehem to provide snow and ice removal from certain state roads within city limits.
And resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
July 31st, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor Jonas Burke Jr. with an attached lease agreement and resolution. The agreement is between the City and Wells Fargo Bank N.A., setting forth terms and conditions to lease approximately 4,944 rentable square feet of office space in the basement of 52 West Broad Street to be used by Bethlehem Police Department as an emergency services training facility.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6E.
July 30th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John S. Burke Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Seven Sirens Brewing Company, LLC, and the event is the 2024 Bethlehem Brew Fest. Event time is noon to 4 p.m. on September 1st. Duration of the permit is from noon to 8 p.m. on August 31st and 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Danny Bryce Field from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at property on Main Street between Lehigh and Spring Streets.
And resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
July 30th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John S. Burke Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Christmas City Spirits LLC, and the subpermittee is the Redevelopment Authority of the City of Bethlehem. The event is 2024 Cider Fest. The event time is noon to 5 p.m. on September 7th. Duration of the permit is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on September 7th. Specified premises are in the Nevin Place right-of-way and West Walnut Street parcel, as well as the Redevelopment Authority parcel. All are adjacent to the Sun Inn courtyard and designated on an attached exhibit.
And resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
July 30th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John S. Burke Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Christmas City Spirits LLC. Subpermittee is the Redevelopment Authority of the City of Bethlehem. The event is the Vintage Market for September 2024. The event time is 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on September 14th. Duration of the permit is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on September 14th. Specified premises are the Nevin Place right-of-way and West Walnut Street parcel, as well as the Redevelopment Authority parcel. All are adjacent to the Sun Inn courtyard and designated on an attached exhibit.
And resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
July 30th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Burke Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Arts Quest, and the event is the 2024 Oktoberfest. Specified event times and duration vary on October 4th through the 6th and the 11th through the 13th. Specified premises of 1st Street and Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between 1st and 2nd Streets.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. Communication 6I.
The July 24th, 2024 memorandum from Business Administrator Eric Evans. Mr. Evans recommends that Council postpone taking action on the second reading of Bill 25 on tonight's agenda until its August 20th meeting. Although he remains optimistic that the city can send some cadets to the Fire Academy in Harrisburg, evaluation finalizing its numbers and costs will not be known until August 9th. Additionally, Mr. Evans recommends a motion to amend Bill 26 tonight if Bill 25 is postponed. Postponement of Bill 25 would impact the amount in which the 2024 general fund budget would be increased.
And both ordinances for final passage, 8G and 8H, are on the agenda tonight. Moving on to reports, I have nothing to report this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, we will start with the administrative orders. And first one, I hereby reappoint A. Craig Evans, 464 Montclair Avenue, Bethlehem, PA, 1015, the Historic Conservation Commission. This appointment is, reappointment is effective through April 2026.
Administrative order for A. Craig Evans to the Historic Conservation Commission. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on Mr. Evans' appointment? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Malone?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Next administrative order, I hereby reappoint Michael Simonson, City of Bethlehem Building Inspector, 10 East Church Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18018, to the Historic Conservation Commission. This reappointment is effective through April 2027.
Administrative order naming Michael Simonson to the Historic Conservation Commission. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion on Mr. Simonson's appointment. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. And I hereby appoint Rachel Leon, 946 East 5th Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18015, the Bethlehem Housing Authority. This appointment is effective through March 2029.
Administrative order naming Rachel Leon to the Bethlehem Housing Authority. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Mr. Cologne.
So before we get into discussion, just a reminder, this appointment, this resolution was postponed at our previous council meeting on July 16. One of the things at that time that we discussed was our city council solicitor, Attorney Stewart, was tasked with looking into a couple questions that came up on the floor of council and references that were made. She sent a memo to all of council last week, but I will give Attorney Stewart the floor just to follow up on some of those discussions that were had.
Thank you very much, President Cologne. Following the last meeting where this question arose and I was asked to conduct research, I did a thorough review of Bethlehem City ordinances, state law, and federal law. I engaged in conversations with Brad Rader, Esquire, Regional Counsel for the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, Office of General Counsel, and I reached out to the solicitor's offices of other third-class Pennsylvania cities, and all of these efforts confirmed the following. Unless otherwise precluded by legislation authorizing their creation, council members may sit very generally on authorities, boards, and commissions. Pennsylvania third-class city councils may sit on housing authorities. Voting on a budget that in part supports an authority, board, or commission on which the council person sits does not constitute a conflict of interest and need not be avoided. As has been discussed here tonight by some of the council members, and as I discussed at our last meeting, a conflict of interest arises when a voting member of a council, authority, board, or commission, a family member, or an entity in which the voting member or their family member is associated would receive personal financial gain due to a vote and is cause for filing a statement regarding the conflict and abstention from the vote. Every voting member of a council, authority, board, or commission should act accordingly when a conflict of interest arises. Simply sitting on an authority, board, or commission and simultaneously sitting on city council does not constitute a conflict. A person can serve in both capacities and do the work for the good of the people benefited without causing conflict. I prepared and sent this memo to council on August 2nd. They had opportunity to ask follow-up questions. I did address some follow-up questions to individual members of council that they had of me, and hopefully this clarifies the issue.
Thank you, Attorney Stewart. So that being said, as we had discussed, this is a continuation of the last meeting, so I'll open it up for discussion from members of council on the appointment. Ms. Leo?
The appointment is about me, so I would like to recuse myself from the vote. I do not have a financial conflict of interest in this. I think there was Hatch Act brought up in my reading of the Hatch Act. It's using your position of influence for personal political gain. I do not plan on campaigning on the BHA. And I think that's all the things that I want to say. I want to recuse myself from the discussion as long as a motive isn't being attributed to me. Then I recuse from discussion and from the vote.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any discussion regarding the appointment? I'll start with Councilwoman Cramsey Smith.
Thank you, and thank you to Solicitor Stewart for looking into and clarifying the conflict of interest and legal concerns. As I brought up the issues, and I know it's been controversial ever since, but
I was told, and it was true, that at one point in time, it was illegal for council members on third-class cities to serve on authorities. It's still illegal for council members in first-class cities to serve on authorities. As I mentioned before, I've devoted over 40 years to serving those who are homeless and housing challenged. From the 1980s, I was a rep payee for those with mental illness and developmental disabilities in Lehigh County. I had to make sure that their rent was paid on time so they had a place to live. I also had to secure emergency shelter for those with mental illness and developmental disabilities when they were homeless. I also had to secure emergency shelter for women and children who had been abused. I've been working with those who are homeless and housing challenged for years, most recently with my students in the high school, too many of them who, them and their families have been homeless, and I've had to secure housing and services for them. I've loudly been a voice on council about affordable housing and homelessness because I've lived it through those people that I've served, as well as my own personal experience for 40 years. And thus, I can say undoubtedly that I have a real passion for those who are experiencing housing issues and homelessness. And as I said before, even with all my experience and passion for those who are homeless and housing challenge, I personally, professionally, would not put myself on city council as well as be on the housing authority, because I really feel it is a conflict of interest. You know, while I have passion for those who are homeless and housing challenge, I concurrently have a passion for what I believe to be good government, and I think to be a balance of powers and a balance of roles and responsibilities. As I noted previously, my concerns are entirely with what I feel the conflict of interest as well as bad public policy is to the member of city council appointed to the housing authority, not at all with the individual being considered. We already have a council member who's a liaison to the housing authority, and historically, I can't recall a council member ever being appointed to the housing authority. Perhaps a solution could be to have a Councilwoman Leon become the BHA liaison, but apparently that's going to be a moot point because I'm sure that you know, she will be appointed tonight, even though I will vote against it. It seems counterintuitive in my mind to have council members appointed to an authority when those council members are the same ones who approve such an appointment to an authority. As I noted before, even if it's legal, I think it sets a bad precedent and it's not good policy. No other cities in the Commonwealth that I'm aware of do this. I spoke with many other third-class cities who said not only do they not do this, but they asked why would we do it, because they feel it's bad policy. The Bethlehem Housing Authority has a lot of power in granting housing to our residents and receives significant funding. And I feel that we leave ourselves open to scrutiny having a council member as an appointed BHA member. The BHA is a multi-million dollar budget, and additionally, each year the BHA pays the city of Bethlehem over $300,000 for the city police, the people that are assigned to the housing development. So that's another concern budgetarily as far as the conflict goes. Historically, as I said before, residents are appointed to the ABCs so that we have representation of diverse community members, as well as we promote civic involvement. Concurrently, city council members run and are elected to serve on city council. I think a separation of powers is vital to our democracy and the balance of government. As I've always said, I feel like I am representing the good people of this great community, and I truly have had numerous constituents reach out to me voicing their opposition to a council member being appointed to the Bethlehem Housing Authority. City council persons have their own unique roles and responsibilities, as do our appointed authority members, and I truly believe it's best practice to continue to keep the two separate. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll turn to Councilwoman Laird, who I believe had her hand up virtually.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you to Attorney Stewart for looking into the questions that a few of us have raised and clarifying the legal definitions of some of the aspects so that we could vote in an informed manner. That information that you sent in the memo and summarized today was very helpful. I also just wanted to make the general comment that I do understand we all have things that we're really interested in and passionate about and work hard in our community to help move forward. And so that does lead to conversations like this, you know, as our interests and work that we do in the community kind of overlap sometimes. So I'm glad that we have had this conversation. I'm glad that we were able to look into the definitions and not just for the housing authority, but as we talked about last week, we do have council members who sit on other boards and authorities. So it kind of answers some legal questions across the board for us. So thank you for all the information and to everyone for the conversation and thought.
Any other discussion from members of council? Mr. Callahan?
I just want to say that I think this is really setting a really terrible precedent. It's never been done in our city before, or any other city in the state of Pennsylvania, except for one, Allentown. And I don't think we want to be, Allentown, I think, had one council member that was appointed to a board. And I really, you know, Allentown speaks for itself. But there wasn't any other city in the state, third class city, that had a council member appointed to one of these boards or commissions. Just because it's illegal doesn't make it right. We have a former president of the United States who's pushing that envelope all the time. Things that are legal doesn't make it right. It's not about reform. I think to the extent, if you look at our code of ethics that this council voted on, I think Ms. Leon came up with the code of ethics. I think she co-wrote it. I think she voted on it.
Mr. Callahan, I hate to interject, but I don't think that's correct.
It is. So, because I wasn't on at the time, when the city council code of ethics. One of the things that the city council did, which she was on and voted for, was according to the state, there's no dollar amount that someone can take in a campaign. The council members in this city decided that they wanted to have a little bit more stricter of a code when it came to financing your campaigns. And they passed numbers that were more suitable for our size of our city. And and one of the words that was put in there was a perceived conflict of interest. And so there's a higher standard. I think our city council adopted a higher standard of a code of ethics than what the state has. And so to that extent, I think the city council code, I don't think that of ethics, I don't think we just can just pick and choose which perceived conflicts of interest we want to abide by. So having said that, I will be voting no against it. I wish that there's another option that was going to be presented to her by some other taxpayers that had tried to reach out to her. She refused to get back to them. And I think the smart thing would be to do.
Mr. Callahan, again, I think
I'm stating a fact.
Wait for us to verify.
Please, you're talking about
Councilwoman Leone's returning people's calls. That's irrelevant to this discussion and not verifiable by this council. Please don't.
Well, I have a person in here that could verify it.
Like that. I'll move on.
So anyways, I would ask that she recuse herself or step down from it and accept the liaison position, and her and Ms. Kwiatek can switch liaison positions. I don't know why she's so hell bent on becoming a board member there. It doesn't make sense to me.
Again, I'm done.
I'm done.
Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Willow?
Yeah. So I actually wanted to start by thanking Ms. Smith for your comments earlier, which actually highlighted not only the fitness of this appointment, which is really where the discussion is focused, but the need for real change and reform, if you're still here. So thank you for adding that piece. And because it's been duly, trebly confirmed that this is not, in fact, a conflict of interest, and while it is our charge to value differences of opinion here, at this point, that piece of it is opinion. So I'm not going to address the conflict of interest issue. It's already been confirmed that there is none. But I was calling in at the last meeting, recovering from illness, and did say this then, but I want to restate again for the record that Ms. Leone is an excellent and, in fact, uniquely qualified a candidate for the BHA board. In that, just, you know, for folks who are following along, that she possesses experience and expertise in board governance, which is an extremely important. We're talking about steering the BHA through very complex regulatory landscapes and strategic decision-making, extremely important skill. She has a deep understanding of the affordable housing sector, and I'll say many of these things predate her time on council, which isn't necessarily crucial, but these are skills that brought her to this body. She has already demonstrated leadership in addressing housing issues, evidenced in her, again, previous and ongoing involvement in community projects and grant initiatives. And furthermore, she has developed genuine and trusted connections with both individuals and organizations and institutions within the BHA community. And, you know, I think that goes very far in ensuring that she can foster collaboration and advocate effectively, because, you know, this requires not only dealing with those complex, navigating those complex issues and speaking at a high level about these regulatory landscapes, but dealing with human beings who are going through, perhaps themselves trying to walk through this process and going through difficult times. And so those trusted relationships cannot be overstated. And a sincere commitment to housing justice, which, again, evidenced by her previous and ongoing advocacy efforts to ensuring fair and equitable housing. And furthermore, I can say that, you know, firsthand, that I know few people with such a high degree of personal and professional character and integrity. Firsthand, as a colleague that I've worked with closely, you know, on a lot of complex issues here myself, and I think the insinuation that an interest in serving this role is anything other than an indication of that high level of character and integrity was deeply and is. Continues deeply disappointing to me. I regret that this vote was delayed in the manner that it was, for many reasons, more than one. But I think what I regret most of all is that my colleague had to sit through what was a wholly undeserved experience. So Ms. Leon's addition to the board is an asset, period, and I am honored to support her in this appointment this evening.
Thank you.
I wasn't actually going to speak, I was just going to vote tonight. But I'm horrified by what I've heard.
Thank
you. For someone who just said that our colleague was hell-bent on serving on the Bethlehem Housing Authority, for me to take exception with me saying that I'm horrified by the kinds of insinuations and accusations that have been made about somebody on this very body, but also just a member of our community, right? Somebody who lives here. We don't speak about residents here. And yes, she is a resident. We are all residents here, okay? I don't know how many ways Attorney Stewart and the attorney from HUD and all the other people can explain that a conflict of interest involves a financial incentive, a financial benefit. There are no campaign contributions. There are no salaries or any way in which a person serving on the Bethlehem Housing Authority would shunt money towards themselves or a member of their families. And again, the insinuation of that at the last meeting, as I said, was a microaggression. I didn't make that clear earlier. I know there were some parts of what I said were listened to, but others not. So I just want to reiterate, I'm angry tonight because I've really had it with the kind of, you know, suggestions of corruption or somehow this is bad government. It is legal, and that is actually our job, is to vote on things based on legality. Yes, we also want to do things that we think are just and correct. There is nothing incorrect about this. I'm proud to vote for Ms. Leon, and again, I won't apologize because it's not my role to apologize, but I am very sorry that this kind of treatment has taken place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilwoman. Any other discussion from members of council about the resolution? Councilwoman Crancer Smith. Ms. Lehrer, go ahead.
Sorry, just a quick clarification to make sure that I remember correctly from our last meeting. Do we presently have council members who sit on authorities, boards, and commissions?
I'll answer that, Ms. Lehrer. I sit on the Human Relations Commission, and Councilwoman Leon sits on the Library Board. And going by memory, those have always been unanimous appointments.
So we have and presently do what we are seeking to do, except this is just a different authority board or commission.
In that way, yes. We have council members, current council members, and myself and Ms. Lehrer, who serve on the Human Relations Commission and the Library Board.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify, because I think it was said earlier that we have never done that.
Ms. Lehrer, one moment, as Ms. Kwiatek.
I just wanted to add to that list that the liaison to the Blighted Property Review Board is also a sitting member and votes on the Blighted Property Review Board.
Thank you for that clarification.
Not voted on, but it's an, when they are the liaison, they become a voting member of that body.
Understood. Thank you. And just for clarification, the liaisons are appointed by the President of Council, not voted on by Council, just for clarification. Any other questions, Ms. Lehrer?
No, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that.
Councilwoman Crancer.
Thank you. And that was a good question, and I do want to clarify that, first of all, I've said repeatedly that this has nothing to do with the person. My concern is that it's a council person in general being appointed. This is an authority, and in my personal and professional opinion, I think it's different than the boards and commissions that other council members sit on, because it's a multi-million dollar authority. I could be wrong, but it might be like $65 million annual budget. Some of that budget is paid to the city for police officers. And I, you know, to be honest with you, I take offense because I've never questioned the integrity or character of the person being considered at all. And it is my opinion that it is bad government, and I have the right to my opinion. I think that there was a lot of good dialogue regarding this, and it's unfortunate that it get to this point, and that people have to be, I think, condescending in some ways because of the opinions of others. But I just want to clarify that again. I've said repeatedly it has nothing to do with the position. I've noted my experience with housing homelessness, just to say that even though I have a wealth of experience, I even myself, if I was asked to be on the board, I wouldn't, because that's my opinion that it's wrong. And like I said, other cities have even said that they didn't agree that it was the right thing to do, as well as some of my constituents. So I just want to clarify that.
Thank you, Ms. Ramsey Smith. I agree. Anything else, Mr. Callahan?
I just want to agree with her comments.
Understood. Ms. Leo?
No, this hasn't to do with my appointment. I don't want to break my recusal, but I just, anybody who might be listening and interested in being an authority board and commission and might feel dissuaded by the robustness of this vote, this is a very different circumstance. I am a council person, so do not let these conversations dissuade you from wanting to participate in local governance.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Sure. Attorney Stewart, is there something you want to add?
I just want to make one point of clarification. I don't want anybody leaving here tonight with the impression that I did a full survey of all third-class cities in the Commonwealth and received from all of them responses regarding every authority board and commission that they have. I don't want anybody thinking there's one city that has one councilman on one authority. That was not a part of my research. If it had been, I wouldn't have these answers here tonight, for I'd still be waiting to hear from numerous municipalities about their numerous authorities, boards, and commissions. But I will also say that in my research and in speaking with Attorney Rader of HUD, he noted that in some states and some municipalities in those states, in fact, council is the housing authority. Now, that's very unique. That happens only in certain places across the states. But it, I think, goes to the fact that it is not a conflict of interest. And I just wanted to make that point of clarification about the scope of my research. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Stewart.
Ms. Fong.
Mr. Callahan, I will address you for the third time.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I just want to make a point that that is true, but that was only in cities of extremely small numbers of people, where the people that were on the board or on the councils were permitted to do that. It wasn't in like a big metropolitan area like Philadelphia or and even cities over 40,000 people. So I
will allow Attorney Stewart to respond, and then I'm going to continue on with discussion.
Thank you. I only want to respond very briefly to state that that qualification was not provided by Attorney Rader in his response to my question. So there was no qualification as to the size of the municipality.
Understood. Thank you, Attorney Stewart. So I just want to make a couple general comments before we call the vote. First, I want to thank our Attorney Stewart, our City Council Attorney, for the research that she did over the last couple weeks since the last meeting. I know it was a lot. There was a lot of outreach to other attorneys. There was outreach to your own research and looking into some of the things that you were tasked with, and then giving us a very, very robust legal opinion that you've already summarized, so I'm not going to restate that. I do want to address Attorney Spurk, who at the last meeting had even given his legal opinion already, which was essentially just expanded and confirmed by our city council solicitor. So thank you, Attorney Spurk, that you did give your own legal opinion, which was, I would say, validated by Attorney Stewart. As it relates, I just want to touch on a couple things that came up in discussion, and as it relates to sort of council's ethics ordinance that had been passed unanimously a couple years ago, that was brought forward by previous Councilwoman Van Wert. There was an amendment that was brought forward by myself. All members of council, though, supported it unanimously at the time. As it relates to HUD, I know there were discussions at the last meeting about really putting a lot of weight on the opinion of HUD as it related to supporting this appointment and an interest in HUD's opinion. So I do appreciate Attorney Stewart confirming that with HUD's general counsel, if I'm not mistaken, there was no red flags with the appointment that's before us as it relates to Ms. Leone. So I hope that that's satisfied that position. As it relates to supporting or not supporting the appointment, every member of council is going to vote individually how they choose. I mean, we see that with other things all the time. I think where there's grievance taken, rightfully in my opinion, is where things get framed or characterized as this righteous versus vicious or just versus unjust. And I wouldn't say that's typical. I wouldn't say that's done by all members of council. That would be a mischaracterization to say anything like that. So that's not what I mean. And I've said this before, we have split votes on council. We voted 4-3, 5-2, 6-1. Things have passed, things have failed. Some controversial, some not so controversial. It happens. This is a unique experience because really what we're voting on is a member of council, a seated member of council, a member of council that we should all have respect for given her service to council and in the community. And I think it goes without saying that I will say I find Ms. Leone the highest character. Again, there's a conversation to be made versus the merits of appointing a councilwoman versus not appointing a councilwoman. And everyone's entitled to that. It's the old Roberts rule saying. It's minority rights. We all share the same voting rights as members of council and what privileges we have up here, and then majority rules. So at the end of the day, it's going to come down to what the votes are of council. But as council president, I just want to restate that I hold this council in high regard. I hold the work that we do in high regard, whether it's appointing someone to an authority board or commission or any of the other things that we do. And I hope that we can all continue, as we disagree, to not drag assigning motivation or questioning someone's intentions or what motivates them to want to essentially serve on an authority board and commission. I've said it before, we've had a year, we've
over the years of me serving and others have served, sometimes we appoint people who we never see. I've served on boards where people get appointed and then I serve for years and don't even know who they are because they don't come out. And I don't have not one hesitation or reservation as it relates to the appointment that's in front of us tonight. As it relates to the Housing Authority, as someone who, as I've shared previously, grew up as a tenant of the Bethlehem Housing Authority until I was of a certain age, I appreciate that we have someone in this community, a resident of this community, like Councilwoman Leone, who not only is willing to serve, but also availed herself to a degree of scrutiny, given that she knew these were going to be public conversations. She knew that it was going to be a conversation revolving around it where people gave their honest opinions. And as it relates to serving on council, our council terms, how long we served, are at the mercy of the voters. This appointment, and Mayor Reynolds, you could just, with a nod, this is through March of 2029, correct? So I don't know what the future of this body looks like, what the future of City Council looks like as it relates to composition and voting results and things like that. But I know that I, as a member of Bethlehem, as a City Council member, as a product of the Bethlehem Housing Authority, celebrate that we have someone like Councilwoman Leone who is willing to serve in that capacity. So I will be supporting her appointment tonight, and I'm going to ask Mr. Miller to call the roll.
Ms. Quintek?
Aye.
Ms.
Laird? Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Abstain.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Nay.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Nay.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Passes 4-2 with one refusal. We're on your report, Mayor.
Thanks, President Clone. So a couple of updates. One is Chief Reich and Chief Cotter are not here. Obviously, we have a lot of weather going on right now as far as ArtsQuest is concerned. I believe they have shut down for the day, for the night because of lightning. The next couple of days, it looks like we're going to have some more rain. So we are on top of that. I want to thank all of our public safety officials who are changing schedules around. They moved one of the concerts up today, but we're taking a look at that. Some of the vendors have been moved, in anticipation of potential flooding. Not that it's going to happen, but we just want to get out in front of that. So that's something that we're spending a lot of time on. Chief Reich and Chief Kant can be available as well the next couple of days to talk about that, but it's just something that I want everybody to be thinking about because, we obviously have gotten a lot of rain just in the last couple of hours, and it's going to continue through the day as this hurricane comes up from Florida and turns into rain and everything else like that. So it's just something that we're working on. And I just also want to just briefly state that since the last time we met, we became a World Heritage Site. I know it hasn't been talked about at all today, but it is, thank you. We are, and me in the seat is just the latest person to have a small part of this. And I mean, this was a process, essentially started by Charlene Donches-Mowers over 20 years ago. And over the past 22 years, I was actually having a conversation with Ms. Donches-Mowers and former Mayor Cunningham about the first time that Charlene walked in and said, hey, here's this thing. And the baton has been passed, and she was carrying it for many, many years. And it is a thrill for our community as part of our four-way nomination between Northern Ireland, Germany, and Denmark. As I think you guys know, I went to India for 4 days. Not the easiest turnaround if you ever try to do that, flying 16 hours, 9.5 hours difference, coming back 3 days later. But it was a thrill to hear people throughout the world and to hear people that have been working on this for years in all of these countries acknowledge not just our buildings, but the spirit of what it means to be part of our community. And the other countries really do their research when they vote for this. And there's 21 people on the World Heritage Committee. But it was like the United Nations. You have almost every country there. And they come up and they've read every part of that dossier, as some of you may have seen, that talks about those cultural values of what the Moravians are. And it is not something that is unique to the Moravians. And we have a lot of people in this city that are not Moravian. But everybody is a human being. And everybody believes in those ideas of community and fairness and equality. And the fact that we have now been recognized on the world stage is obviously going to be a benefit for us as far as people wanting to come to Bethlehem. But it is also a challenge to us as far as living up to those ideals that we have now been inscribed with. And that's the idea that everybody matters. And the majority of the people in the city are not Moravian. That's okay. Some of us are, some of us are not. But those qualities that are central to what our nomination was, and it came forward, I know some of you were watching at 2 or 3 in the morning, the nomination and the speeches from some of our friends from Saxony and other places that referenced what that means and what this means. Is it's not just about the past, it's not just about the present, it's not just about welcoming people to your city. It's about also living up to those ideals of humanity, which is why we got the votes. It's why we were inscribed. And that's something that people in the city deserve credit for almost 300 years. Tomorrow, there is a church service down in Central Moravia at 9 o'clock, and then we're having a press conference here where we're going to kind of talk. It's going to, Ms. Natchez Mowers is going to talk some of the history of how we got to this point, but then we're also going to hear from the partners that are on the World Heritage Council, and it is an exciting day for us, but the work is really just beginning. We're going to have a big inscription event with the other countries in Bethlehem in October. Those dates, I think, are October 17th to the 19th. We are having a community celebration in the spring of 2025, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow, but I just wanted to, this was a long time coming. And a few of us got to go over to be a part of there and sit at the table. But I just want to thank everybody who had such a huge role in this. And the people that worked on this for many, many more years than I did. And Ms. Natchez Mowers is at the center of that. But also Mayor Natchez, Mayor Callahan, Mayor Cunningham, everybody with Central Moravian, with HBMS. There are a lot of people to thank. And I think that the most moving part of it, and I will end my comments here, is the person that, one of the people we want to thank the most, that isn't here, is Bishop Clennon. And I think that what he meant for people in this community, and he was an outsider. He was not born in the city of Bethlehem. He came from somewhere else. But he came with those central tenets of humanity that are central to who we are and central to who humanity is. And his wife was able to be with us in India. But there was there wasn't anybody that was part of our nomination that was there. And leading up to it, in the weeks and the meetings, there were a lot of tears that were shed by a lot of people that hoped and wasn't with us, but he was with us. And his spirit and his constant reminder that this is a nomination for everybody and for everyone in the future is something that deserves to be mentioned. And it is, as I said, we lost Hopeton last year, but Hopeton didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. And it wasn't part of being a group or being part of an institution to say, hey, I'm part of the successful people. It was, I have mine, how do I help other people get theirs? And I don't know of any more fitting way to celebrate than by thanking him wherever he's at for all of his incredible accomplishments. And everywhere we go and every step we take, he will be with us. Thank you, President.
Thank you, Mayor Rhodes. We're going to move on to our ordinances for final passage. Mr. Miller, Bill 19-2024.
The ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Leon and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 19-2024, sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Francis Smith.
Any discussion on the ordinance? Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Lair?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 20-2024.
The ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Community Development Block Grant Budget for 2024. Bill number 20-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Francis Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Lair?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passed 7-0. Bill 21-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Community Development Block Grant Budget for 2024. Bill number 21-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leona and Ms. Francis Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Lair?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Bill 22, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 22, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leona, Ms. Francis Smith.
Any discussion? We'll call roll.
Ms. Kubitschek?
Aye.
Ms. Ware?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 23, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 23, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leona, Ms. Francis Smith.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Kubitschek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 24, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 24, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leona, Ms. Francis Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kubitschek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 25, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 25, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Francis Smith.
So before we get into discussion, I'll just remind everyone, Mr. Miller had read at the top of the meeting a memo that came from Mr. Evans, our business administrator, with a request from the administration for Mr. Evans to postpone the postpone this final vote on Bill 25 of this year to August 20th. I will turn to Mr. Evans. Mr. Evans, if you could just give us a little backstory to your memo, and then also just your level of confidence that we'll be good to vote on it at the next meeting should council elect to postpone it.
Yeah, we fully expect to be ready for a vote at the August 20th meeting. We're a week, actually a couple days away from receiving the final results on the physicals and psychologicals that are required as part of the vetting process for the candidates. We still hope that it's a high number. The goal was 9, and that's what we originally requested. We also said we'd come back, and if it's less than that, we would reduce the request. So we're going to hold, or ask, we're asking to, you know, just to postpone this bill as is and push it to the 20th, and then we'll certainly be ready to vote on it by then. So we should be able to provide you with a memo with what those numbers are, what the proposed amendment would be sometime next week.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Evans. So any discussion from members of council before we decide how to handle the agenda item? Then I will invite a motion and then a second to postpone Bill 25-2024, the final reading, the second vote, to postpone this agenda item to the August 20th City Council meeting.
Second.
I move.
That would be you third, Ms. Blair. So we had a motion by Councilwoman Leone, a second by Councilwoman Wilhelm. Any discussion on the motion to postpone to August 20th? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Kubitschek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Grimson Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. So Bill 25-2024, second reading is postponed to the August 20th City Council meeting. Mr. Miller, Bill 26-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2024. Bill number 26, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leone, Ms. Francis Smith.
So again, before we get into discussion, I will turn to Mr. Evans again just for a little background on his memo, which also addresses the requested budget amendment to Ordinance 26.
Thank you, President Cologne. Bill 26 should stay the same with regard to all allocations. The only request or the amendment that should be made, we would suggest, is in Section 1 to delete what is there, because in essence, by pushing Bill 25, each time we add these amendments, we're increasing or decreasing, and in this case, increasing the total fund budget. We
because we didn't increase anything, and we didn't increase that $360,000 to the 9 firefighters, we pushed that. We should then reduce the total numbers in budget 26 with regard to the general fund budget. And that's what the proposal on my communication is, to revise section 1 as provider, as posted in my communication, in my memo.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. So any discussion on Bill 26 before we talk about actions council could take as it relates to amendments? So I will accept a motion and then a second to amend section 1 of Bill 26-2024 to read, Section 1, that total appropriations in the 2024 general fund budget be increased from $113,589,955 to $113,684,955.
So moved. Second.
So there is a motion from Councilwoman Kwiatek, second by Councilwoman Wilhelm. Any discussion on the motion to amend? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Passes 7-0. So Bill 26 is amended. Any discussion on the bill as is amended? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the amended ordinance.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Bill 26-2024 passes 7-0 as is amended. We do not have any new ordinances tonight, so moving on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Remington and Vernick Engineers 2, Incorporated, to perform sewer model updates. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the resolution? Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller are authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for additional home ARP funding from the State Department of Community and Economic Development for the development of non-congregate sheltering, and that the Mayor and Controller are authorized to execute necessary agreements and documents. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the resolution? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek.
I just wanted to ask the administration a couple of questions about it.
Ms. Kwiatek,
thank you. Thank you. I hadn't known about this potential project, so I'm just interested in finding out more about maybe the grant process. And first of all, I think it's very exciting. So it's 11, it would be 11 units, family units for non-congregate sheltering, correct? And it's right now, it's a building that, for those of you who didn't get a chance to read it, it's a building that isn't habitable right now because of code violations.
Yeah, it needs $350,000 in repairs to just meet basic code.
Right, and it's the Lehigh Conference of Churches, is that correct?
That's right.
That, are they the owners of the property?
Yes, they are the owners through a subsidiary of theirs, Lazarus Housing. The property was turned over to them when another nonprofit went under. It's deed restricted for affordable housing via FAIR funding that they had previously received. And they had reached out to the city last year faced with the code violations because they were not given any money for the care of the building. So it is currently vacant. There are 12 units right now, but once we would renovate and get office space in there, we would be able to have 11.
And that was something that also interested me, was that it'll be 11 units and then room for a caseworker. So there would be sort of wraparound services to help the folks who are there, because it's a shelter. It's not meant to be long-term.
Yes, correct.
So the idea,
right. Someone on site, you know, providing whatever sort of services the families that were staying there would need.
And hopefully,
and like under the Home Art program, like we cannot collect rent. This would not be a very extended stay.
And so this is to ask for more Home Art funds, and I read that that was something that you could do. You could, even though we directly get Home Art funds, we can ask for funds that come from the state that are directed from the Home Art program also. So this is what this is?
Yes, the state received its own Home Art allocation from the federal government, and they have set up an application process that will allow both direct entitlement and non-entitlement communities to apply. There is like a, you know, scoring system that would take into account whether or not an applicant had already received Home Art funding. And you have to speak with like a grants manager from the state to even get like permission to apply.
So it's promising, hopefully, that you were invited to be able to apply.
Yes, we felt it was the Heritage Promising Conversation.
And just timeline-wise, do you know when you might find out about it?
They were saying they would envision at least probably 4 to 6 months, like kind of go through all of the evaluations.
And then if it were successful, obviously there would be some time, it would take some time to renovate them into habitable units.
But they are really looking for full spend down within 2.5 years. Because they have to have everything spent by 2030. And so they're looking for shovel-ready projects.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
I just have a question. It's great news, especially that you're partnering with the Conference of Churches, because I worked with them for many years, and they really were a great group. I was just wondering, is there any update on the congregate shelter as far as that goes?
Yes, we're continuing to meet with BDS. We just took a suspension for like the last 3 weeks because they have some vacations, but we meet with their board member, their grant member, Bob Rapp. We meet every other week. And we are working with them on, like, we also did a simultaneous architectural analysis of a facility that they are interested in at the same time. So they are now taking back kind of the results of that information back to the board and digesting what those costs are and what it will mean for long-term capital campaign that they're looking to launch. And also looking at, it's a pretty complex undertaking what they do already with all of these volunteers in the sheltering every day and transitioning those operations now into being year-round, what will that take, what kind of staffing, what sort of funding, and so they're working through all of that, and we meet with them bi-weekly, and they also meet weekly with the Health Bureau for kind of coordinated case management with New Bethany and Conference of Churches. And the great thing, we do have Abby Bolfarb here from the conference, and she's the executive director. They are providing lunches every day out of BAS's shelter site already, and providing street outreach in our encampments right now, so they're very familiar with the populations that we are serving.
Thank you. Thank you, Abby.
Any other discussion? Thank you, Mrs. Teal. Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Quinta?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cruz Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute Pennsylvania Department of Transportation's winter traffic services agreement covering the 5-year period for the winter seasons 2024-2025 through 2028-29. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Quiatek and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the resolution? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramson Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an office lease between the City of Bethlehem and Wells Fargo Bank N.A. for the use of basement space at 52 West Broad Street by the Bethlehem Police Department as an emergency services training facility. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Quiatek and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the resolution? I just had one quick question for the administration. Who wants to take it? This building is for Wells Fargo announced they're closing this branch of the bank, correct? I just want to confirm that. So, and I know the lease runs through the end of April of next year of 25. So I know we don't have a say in what
Wells Fargo chooses to do with the property they own, but I know as long as I can remember, the police badge and shields has been on that door right there that we're talking about, where you're down to the basement. So I just hope whatever comes of the transaction and the sale, that the city's still able to keep using that space.
There never had been a lease?
Never.
So when Chief Cotton discovered that, thought we ought to get a lease.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Thank you, Mr. Schur. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Quinta?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colombo?
Aye. Passed 7-0. We're going to continue on to these permit agreements.
Please accept the motion to group items 10E through 10H.
I will. So there is a motion from Ms. Wilhelm to group agenda 10E through 10H, the use permit agreements, as one group. There's a second by Mr. Callahan. Any discussion on the motion to group them together? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion to group the use permit agreements.
Ms. Quintek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Rachel Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Please read the use permit agreements.
All are sponsored by Ms. Quintek and Ms. Leon. For 10E, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, hereby authorized to execute the use permit agreement with Seven Sirens Brewing Company, LLC, for 2024 Bethlehem Brewfest. Agenda item 10F, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, hereby authorized to execute the use permit agreement with Christmas City Spirits, LLC, for 2024 Cider Fest. Agenda item 10G, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Mayor and Controller, and endorse such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, hereby authorized to execute use permit agreement with Christmas City Spirits, LLC, for the Vintage Market for September 2024. And item 10H, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2024 Oktoberfest.
Thank you. Any discussion on the group? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Quintek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colombo?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10I.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposal of public records to the Department of Water and Sewer Resources as set forth in Exhibit A. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Quintek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Quintek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10J.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposal of public records in the Department of Police as set forth in Exhibit A. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Quintek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. Call the roll.
Ms. Quintek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. I'll accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10K through 10U, the RCOAs as a group.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Leon, second by Councilwoman Wilhelm. Any discussion on the motion for the group? Call the roll, please.
Ms. Quintek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Blum?
Aye. Pass 7-0. Please read the RCOAs, Mr. Blum.
Certificates of appropriateness and the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, are hereby granted for 17 East Church Street, built a custom cedar privacy gate on the west and north facing brick walls, 23 East Church Street, to remove a door, frame, header, and roof along Long Street and install brick in the resulting opening, 35 East Market Street, to replace aluminum gutter and downspout on gable roof with white aluminum case-style gutter and downspout, 48 East Walnut Street, to repair in-kind slate shingles on lower gable roof and replace aluminum gutter and downspout with white aluminum case-style gutter and downspout, 123 East Market Street, to remove all existing vinyl shutters and paint exterior, including previously painted brick facade, all wood trim and soffits, front door, and rear fire escape. 247 East Market Street, to install copper roofing, install copper gutters and downspouts, install slate shingles, and install standing seam metal roofing. 316 West Street, to paint masonry facade of the structure in its entirety. 446 Main Street, to install all aluminum wall signs with vinyl applied graphic. 452 Main Street, to install a double-sided non-aluminum illuminated projecting sign and vinyl graphic window sign. 459 Old York Road, to reconstruct an original dormer, install exterior house lighting and paint trim and shutters. And 523 Main Street, to install a double-sided non-illuminated projecting blade sign, a single-sided hanging sign parallel to the street, and vinyl graphics on the door. Resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Kunitek and Ms. Liam.
Any discussion on the group of COAs?
Ms. Kunitek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Liam?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colombo?
Aye. The group of HAR COAs passed 7-0. I'll accept another motion and then a second to consider resolutions 10B through 10X as a group.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Leone, second by Ms. Ramsey Smith. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Kunitek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. The motion passes. Please read the ECC COAs.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature. Bethlehem resolution are hereby granted for 1318 Prospect Avenue to replace the current roof porch decking with Aridus, which is composite, decking of the same dimension and color as the existing, and also to replace the existing Gilco doors with the same material, 117 East 4th Street. Finalize details and finishes for a proposed new construction project that previously received certificates of appropriateness in November 2021. November of 2023, and 418 Martell Street, to remove insulated brick siding on the one-story rear addition and to remove brick coat siding on the two-story rear addition and replace the vinyl siding. The resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Kunitek and Ms. Leone.
Any discussion on the COAs? We'll call roll.
Ms. Kunitek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Pass 7-0. That concludes our agenda. Before we adjourn, I do want to take a quick moment of silence to remember Otto Ursham. Mr. Ursham was a longtime city councilman who served for close to 20 years, who recently passed away. So I will ask we all observe a brief moment of silence. Thank you, everyone. Get home safely.